moving.
And welcome to the hour. Jennifer and I are here visiting with first daughter, Katie Stumbo of Go Conquer Fitness, who's in the process of getting me in shape for a rim-to-rim-to-rim hike in, across, and back at the Grand Canyon that we try and get done every year. And we're talking about what heat can do to your body and how to protect yourself from the dangers of heat. And I'll tell you, there have been a couple instances where I knew I was short 10 or 12 ounces of water, and those last 5 or 6 miles were tough.
Were tough,
yeah.
And slow.
Yeah. I can remember one hike in particular where I was caught quite a bit farther away from the truck than I thought I was, with no water. And that was down in Florence, and it was a long, thank goodness it was on flat ground, but it was a long, hot hike back to the car.
And I was
beginning to feel very distinct stress indicators for dehydration.
Okay. Dizziness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exhaustion, weak. Your legs were starting to feel weak. I know when I'm out running in this warmer weather, you know, I always get done super early, but it still can be warm in July. And you start feeling a little tired. I have this park about a mile and a half from my house. I stop for water, and I immediately just pep right back up, you know. So a couple signs, and I hope this isn't new information for anyone, just really good reminder to just be cognizant about how your body feels when you're outside this summer. But heat exhaustion is classified by weak, tired, sweaty, headache. A headache is a big indicator that you're dehydrated. If you have a headache, get inside and get some water, okay? Exhaustion, you're like, it's only 8 o'clock in the morning, but I've been doing yard work and I just feel exhausted. Okay, get in the shade, under a fan, get some water. Collapse, rapid heartbeat is a big one. So if you've just mowed the lawn, but your heart rate is like you just ran a half marathon, that's a big indicator that something's going on. Your heartbeat can be an indicator of all sorts of things. So if you have an abnormally high heartbeat for what you've been doing, that is an indicator. And then the last one that's a really big flag is a rapid but weak heartbeat, okay? So if you go to test your pulse and, you know, you usually feel a nice good blip under your fingertips every time your heart beats, but it's not really that strong, that's a big indicator. And if you don't take care of those symptoms, if you don't get in the shade, get some water, get some electrolytes, get some wet, cool towels on you to help cool your core temperature really quickly, you can escalate the problem into heat stroke. Now, heat stroke is life-threatening, okay? And if you've had a heat stroke, you don't deal with the heat like you used to. So that's another consideration. If you've let your body get that far once, you're going to be more susceptible at lower temperatures in the future. But so you take all those symptoms of heat exhaustion, and we go to heat stroke, and you get, and basically it's this little control center in your brain, your hypothalamus, and it can no longer regulate your body temperature. It basically stops working. You've stopped sweating.
If you have
stopped sweating, you need to call 911. If you are out in the heat, you're out doing things and you have stopped sweating, that is a huge red flag. You need care right now. So make sure you do that. You'll be hot, you'll be flushed, your skin will be dry and kind of clammy because you've stopped sweating. Your skin is dry. That is another huge indicator. And a lot of times once we get to that point, you might be confused or so out of it, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you may not realize the danger you're in at that point.
Not realize it unless you've recently heard it or are aware of what's going on. So confusion is a big one.
Hopefully hiking with a partner that can never help you along.
Yeah. Don't go either. Don't go by yourself.
Oh, don't say that.
Or go.
Always tell somebody where you're going.
Or make sure. That was my next point. Let people know where you're going. If you're going to go alone, like tomorrow, I'll be alone at Apache Wash for a long, long one. But I will have my phone on me and I never lose cell signal out there. You know, it's not really not outside town. Yeah. In the McDowell's, there's a few dead spots up there, you know. But at Apache Wash, I always have cell signal. So just be aware. That dry, you've stopped sweating, you are in danger.
The sun in Arizona. We've got a call here with an interesting situation. Do you want to
Okay.
bring him up?
Go ahead, Mike.
Dave is calling from Sun City.
Hi, Rosie.
With a story on what the sun did.
This is the craziest thing I ever had happen in my 72 years. Went to the ASU spring football game last Saturday, and it was a beautiful day. Get over 85, and got there about noon. It didn't start till 2, and then it finished at 5. So I was sitting stands on the side facing east.
Okay.
With the sun coming over my right shoulder, and I had on a pair of cargo shorts, khakis, that went down to the end of my knees.
Okay.
So there was no skin exposed.
All right. Ended up in trouble?
Ended up with two gigantic blisters on the tops of my thighs. And, in fact, I ended up in the hospital on Easter night.
Oh, man. But you're okay now, right, Dave?
What?
You're okay now.
Well, yeah. They gave me antibiotics and they gave me bandages and that sort of thing. But it's not done yet.
So you blistered with the skin being covered.
Yes.
Wow.
That's heat blistering.
All right, Dave. You take care of yourself. Be careful. Heat blistering through the clothes.
Absolutely. If your body, it's like getting burned by fire. Your skin's going to blister. If it just gets that hot. Now, he said he has cargo pants on. And what do I think when I think cargo pants? I think those metal rivets.
Oh.
Those metal rivets get very hot. He didn't say how big the blisters were, so it could have been that. It could have been, you know, it could have been medication he's on that makes him more susceptible to the sun. You know, there's lots of medications that will change the way your body reacts to the sun.
And our skin does get thinner, too.
And our skin gets thinner. We get more susceptible to the heat as we age. It could be the metal rivets on the cargo pants. It could be medication he was taking. It was a warm day. And that, what he said, is like 5-7 hours?
Starting at high exposure.
High exposure. Most UV of the day, right there at high noon, you know. So it could have been a few things.
Well, we're talking about water replenishment, we're talking about electrolyte replenishment, and we're talking about proper clothing. I think people underestimate all the time the importance of the color of the clothes.
Can I just say that you had said at the bottom of the hour you're going to tell people that magnesium recipe.
Oh, the formula.
So, the recipe.
Yes. Yeah, so let's do that before we move on because somebody may be listening.
Thank you, babe.
Let's do this.
Homemade brew and of electrolyte replenishment.
And this is, so what you do is you do 1 liter of water. 1/4 to 1/2 cup citrus juice. You know how you can get just any citrus juice, lime, lemon. You can juice your own, or they have good ones at Sprouts or Trader Joe's. Then 1/4 of a teaspoon of a product called low salt. One word, LOSALT.
What department, what of the grocery is that in? Is that with the salt and pepper and all that kind of stuff? Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And it's called, is it with the salts? It's low salt. Mm-hmm. Okay.
A fourth of a teaspoon per liter of water?
Yeah, it's not.
That's not a lot.
Okay. And then optional, you can put a sprinkle of magnesium powder in there. Okay.
The sprinkle's a good stay with that. More is better in that situation.
I can cook a whole hour about magnesium. Benefits and side effects. And that will be your electrolyte drink. You're going to get no food coloring. You're going to get no sugars that cause intestinal distress while you're there on the trails. And credit for this recipe goes to my fabulous naturopath, Dr. Shauna Eichens.
Okay. So this is a refreshment during exertion, during
Absolutely.
Exercise. How is it crazy for me to hydrate at lunch the day before my morning hike?
Okay.
I start increasing my water intake at lunch.
You can. You can increase it a little bit. You can increase not just water, okay? Something like this.
Okay.
Electrolytes, emergencies, not Gatorade. But you don't want to super hydrate. There was this craze, this idea that if you just packed your body full of water the day before, you'd be in a better situation. And that's not really true. You're going to throw off your electrolyte balance if you've thrown all this water in on your body and not replaced electrolytes, for one. And two, with all the water, you're just stressing out your kidneys.
Interesting.
So absolutely. Increase your water a little bit, but don't pound a gallon of water.
Well, don't you think it's just a matter of being hydrated all the time?
Absolutely.
I'll let myself get behind, and I don't like exercising when I feel behind. I start thirsty.
That's not a good thing.
So if you feel thirsty, you should be drinking water all the time.
Okay. So don't tank up on water. How about the theory of carbo loading?
Oh, I've talked about that on here before. That's antiquated. It does nothing. It slows you down.
Does it really?
It slows you down. So if you're going to have all those carbohydrates, if you have a pasta dinner, all those carbohydrates are already converted to storage fat by the next morning. Okay, you're going to feel slow. You're going to feel sluggish. if you're gonna carbo load, air quotes here, you're going to want to do it within about 2 hours before, not 14 hours before.
Interesting.
Okay.
Let's bring Tony into the conversation. Marine, who's actually suffered heat stroke. Mike's on the other line, so we're short one hand this morning with Romy out on the remote. So, Tony, hang on one sec. We'll get back to you.
Okay.
So, there he is. Hey, Tony.
Hey, how are you?
So, a Marine, thank you for your service. Semper Fi.
No worries, Semper Fi. How are you guys been this morning?
Good, good. So, what was your heat stroke story?
Okay, they're called humps, basically a hike, and I think it was about a 12-mile hike. It wasn't too bad, but we were down in the ocean, and we hit the soft sand, and then to make a long story short, we stopped for a small break, and immediately I started feeling faint, like you guys were saying, disoriented, slurred speech, I stopped sweating. And I started getting cramps all over my body. Like, they would take turns. Like, my hand would close on its own. My thigh muscles were cramping. My side muscles. Just basically every muscle was taking a turn cramping up real tight. And so they noticed that I was disoriented. And they actually, it was not just me. It was like four of us that experienced this. And I actually drank the IV out of the IV bag, and they took me to the Tyler Day Station. And then it took me about 3 or 4 hours to actually feel normal again. It was a scary experience, and I hike now. My family and I go hiking. My wife and I go hiking a lot over here at the Skyline Park in Buckeye, and we drink plenty of water. And I just wanted to share that because I heard you guys talking about some of the symptoms. But those are sort of symptoms that I experienced myself.
Tony, thanks a bunch. We appreciate the call. And again, we appreciate your service. And that,
yep.
I've had
Thank
that
you, Tony.
Where in the midst of your exertion, you're ignoring kind of the pain and the agony. And you think, well, this is just part of it. And then you stop and you think, I'm worse off than I thought I was.
Yeah. And, you know, Tony was talking about when he was in the Marine Corps. So his drill sergeants aren't going to let him stop. You know, but that brings up another point that I made earlier that I'd like to really drive home, you guys. Nobody's immune to the heat, okay?
It's not a matter of how good shape you're in. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what shape you're in. If you have an electrolyte balance, and you're going to have problems. You have to be prepared. You have to be smart. You have to stay out of the sun at 1 o'clock in July and August. And you have to be aware of when the humidity spikes.
Okay, Mike, I've decided to do my rim-to-rim-to-rim. I'm going to sit at El Tavar and drink mint juleps. I'll cheer the rest of them on. I'll stay hydrated.
No, you won't.
That doesn't work.